And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a veered. Here on Declare Your Independence, me, Ernest Hancock. This is, going to be an interesting day. We're going to have Tim Pachote on. Then we're going to have Dr. Judy Mikovits get us all caught up. And I'm going to want to make sure that we understand what's happening in the vaccine issue. We're going to amp it up here in Arizona, because I'm going to be here a little bit longer than I thought because the bus. We took it in for some warranty work and have the engine in. It's got to be redone or doing whatever, you know. So we'll talk about it more later. But the so if I'm going to be here now, I think the Lord God has spoken to me in the form of a broken down bus. And we're going to take and do some extra attention here in Arizona. And I wanted to anyway. We had a bunch of other stuff to do and prep and getting done. And I'm going, okay, you know, we got to get to Colorado. And then I go, oh, I'm going to have to stay in Arizona. Well, they're going to have to pay because they're starting to piss me off. So there's a lot of rebellion going on here. We had a story on Freedom's Phoenix. There was a guy that ran against McSally, which is a U.S. senator that lost to Mark Kelly, which is the astronaut guy. And she was challenged in the primary by a guy named Daniel McCarthy. And he's I don't know how typical he is, but he's certainly arrogant. And he just, man, he's going to get to have his say, and damn it, and I got a bunch of, you know, militia around me that's going to, he's begging for trouble. I've seen this kind of stuff before. They always target him. Well, what happened was at the Republican state convention, one of the candidates for party office or something said, yeah, you know, my nomination speech and who, and Daniel McCarthy. So this guy gets up and uses that opportunity to say his piece. And his piece was, you suck. Which is, you know, fine. But he's been threatening to start a new party, and he's going to, yeah, I encourage you, go ahead and elect this person chair and do this, do that. That's good. We're going to wipe you clean with that. So, of course, it went into convulsions, and there was a lot of people there that were cheering him on. You know, they've had their fill. But when they went to, they finally got, yeah, I didn't follow it enough. I don't care that much, but. What I was interested in is the crowd that, how many people were in support of him giving him a lot of crap. Well, at the end of it, we had Governor Ducey, Jeff Flake, which used to be U.S. State Senator. When Trump went in, he, and I'm gone. So he retired. He went off the new Never Trumper guy. And there's something else going on. There's deep state, they, them, those, of whatever, and some of the Coctopus got something to do with a lot of this stuff, too. And every time I scratch the surface, I can see their interest or energy. It's oil, you know, so that's what's going on there. So, and then, oh, and Cindy McCain. So Cindy McCain, she's wife of John McCain, which is really what put him in office and kept him there was really her family. Her father owned a big alcohol distributorship, the Budweiser franchise or some crap like that, here in Arizona. And that was the money behind this. And she got a deal. We'll see if it comes to fruition. You know, the rumor was, is that she gets to be Biden's ambassador to the United Kingdom. Republican John McCain's wife under a Biden administration going to the crown. It just makes you go, hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of that stuff going. And I'm just not, I can't, must, as crazy as it gets, as bad as it is, as open as they are, as exposed as it can be, I'm just, I lose interest. I'm, you know, that's not where the solution's going to be. It's going to be a general public opinion thing, and how can you do that? So while the love bus is being, you know, is down, being worked on, we're still in it now. We got to find another, the place that was, that's a long story. But anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and make sure Arizona, you know, has a, you know, somebody's expressed an opinion here. And I'm looking forward to doing it because, you know, that's what we do. But the it's been interesting to see how the people react here. And it's the opposition is building, but I'm not sure how it's going to manifest. I'm not even sure they do. It's it just takes, you know, I'm always amazed at the rarity of a lot of people that are friends that I find regular. I mean, not common. I mean, I would think that they're not uncommon, you know, but it's getting to be that way to where you have people that are just uncommon. You don't have, and of course, you know, it's hard to see outside of your circle of friends and stuff, but, you know, as we talk to people, as you do activism, as you're going around trying to inspire and explain, and so there's something has happened. It was not like this. I'm old enough to remember it was not like this. And it was, I give you an example. In the days when Disney would promote, make, have on their, you know, evening time channel of, we're going to show it, you know, once a year of, you know, like, what was it, Johnny Reb or Johnny Rebel or something like that. It was about a young, I don't know, 13-year-old, 15, something like that, character in the American Revolution. To have that kind of thing now, and certainly, you know, the heritage and the philosophy that the movie portrayed back then, to have that now, you can't find it anywhere. You'll get Hannah Montana, you know. You'll get that, you'll turn into Miley Cyrus and How Long My Tongue Is, you know, but no, not, it was part of our culture. That was the way we thought. It was the American exceptionalism thing, the American experiment was in freedom. Can they govern themselves? It's like Benjamin Martin and the Patriot, Mel Gibson. He goes, you know, can they? Yeah, I think so. Should they? Yeah. You know, will they? Well, we'll see, you know. And I'm this message of self-responsibility and individual liberty has been beaten out. And it's amazing, I would imagine, that it still exists as much as it does. And a lot of times you'll see it in other places. You know, they're in rebellion in, you know, the Netherlands. You know, they're in rebellion, you know, a lot of people in Australia. They're in rebellion even in, you know, parts of America. But it's been suppressed so much, it's not rewarded, it's punished. It's frowned upon, it's looked down on. You're not with the program, you're not on the team. Is that true? I have enough faith in humanity that, and who do I support? Is there some, you know, Team Ernie? You know, is it, you know, I got the jersey of, you know, a state or something like that? I'm on humanity's side. And we're up against not humanity, someone that would take advantage of it, eliminate it, see it as an enemy. Who are they? We'll go over the headlines a little bit and see what's up. Take it. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're back. Sorry, guys. I pushed a button. Dang it. Yeah, we're moving stuff in and out of the studio and then kind of a, you know, the switcher, mixer, new thing. All right. What we wanted to do is I wanted to go ahead and go over some of the headlines and so on so you can see where we're at. This is the one thing that's really good about Freedom's Phoenix is it's a timestamp. You know, it's if you look at the email dispatches, at the very bottom of the page, you'll see some hyperlinks down there. And in the archives, you'll see newsletter list. Excuse me. And horizontal navigation bar has it in there, too, but that's the easiest way to find them. The newsletter list is each daily dispatch that we do. And you'll see a lot of them. There's a lot of, you know, dailies. You know, there's a lot of... maybe two a day that we do. And in there, our thing is just to make sure that, you know, in the future, I want to make sure that people see what was happening, not what they say happened, you know, and a lot of it is from them, but it's a, you know, the left, the right, the everybody, and then, of course, original articles and commentary and the show. All this together, you're going to have a really good perspective of history, certainly from our perspective. And, you know, here we have this vaccine thing playing out. Is Moderna and Pfizer, they're like, you know, one, we're starting to find out they're not vaccines. They're genetic alterations. And that's one thing I wanted to, we're going to talk with Dr. Judy about. We called her. Left a message, and she was in a conference and so on, because some of the people that were making a sign, they wanted to get her thing on it, and of course she approves of it, you know, and it was mRNA shots, not vaccines, mRNA shots equal GMO humans. So we're going to become genetically modified organisms to what end? Now, I've been watching, you know, some, you know, tell me about this CRISPR technology. CRISPR stands for something. You know, blah, 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 all these acronyms, it means something. But what it does is it's able to cut your DNA and insert something. And they think that they're getting, you know, really good at it. And we can do this and this and this. What they don't know is the impact it has on a gazillion other combinations and what this one does to something other function in the body. And what impact it has on, well, we need to change this one and this one. And this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one. And then this one, this one, this, you know, and all of a sudden, I mean, you're already going to start having problems, I guarantee it. And I'm pretty sure they know they are too. But it opens up a whole new world of being able to modify humans. Let's imagine that they already know. And that's why they're pushing it so hard. Why would they push it so hard? Why do they want it deployed so fast? Why do they want so many people around the world to have their DNA changed? I can't imagine. And this is like a plot line from a dystopian movie. You know, and first they tried to, you know, And it's starting to have some immediate side effects to the point that they're starting to abandon the trials. And I'm wondering what's admit that it's not a vaccine, that it changes your genes. And, of course, they're going to make a big deal out of how great and wonderful it is. They're going, oh, yeah, man, this is our new technology, newest tech of new tech of new. You know, we're going to go ahead and, you know, take care of this for you. So we'll save that for the third hour, Dr. Mikovits, because I am like, wow, this is really, I'm not going to do it. It's hard to make, declarations that you're not going to live up to. I'll never, you know. I think I can do this one. I'm not taking those shots. That's not going to happen. And it'd have to be under heavy duress. Major strap you down, make you, we're going to, you know, shoot the dog or something. Oh, hell, take the dog. You know, but I'm my point. I don't think there's any amount of inconvenience that they're going to be able to impose on me. I mean, what are they going to do, make me live in a bus? But, you know, it's, you know, well, you're not going to be able to fly. You can never go to a movie again. Oh, you can, you know, so I'm good. You know, and it's not even that I you know, certain over a lifetime would it have an impact on me. I'm 59 years old, but it may kill me, you know. But no, I'm not going to. Somebody's got to set an example for your family. You know, grandma and grandpa just got to go, no. Which is why they want to get grandma and grandpa. You know, well, grandma did it. So we're going to, no. One of the other things that's popped up, SpaceX's Starlink download speed is, you know, they're kind of like 100 megabytes a second now. Well, SpaceX says it plans to increase Starlink's download speeds about 100 times. 10 gigabytes. 10 gigabytes. Damn. Now, to give you a perspective, 100 megabytes per second up and down, you're going, woohoo, 100, man, right on. I can do whatever the heck I want. I can upload a show and, you know, lickety split. I can do it. I mean, now all of a sudden makes the internet, you know, something. You know, you can use that. And if you go 10 times that, you know, 10 times that, that's a gig. Wow, man, a gig up and down, which is what I thought they were building up to. So you go, you know, 10 times that, you know, well, that, you're 100 times. That's 10 gigabytes a second. That's, man, that's, what the heck? That's holodeck stuff. You know, so I'm wondering to what end. I mean, it's going to make download and upload speeds freaking zoom. When you have access to the internet and the information in the world, doesn't mean anything if you can't get it. Doesn't mean anything if you can't, you know, too slow, time's out, you know, you're on to the next thing, you forgot what the hell you were looking for. You know, 10 gigabytes a second. It's going to change the world. I don't think people understand that much. We'll whip through the headlines. Be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back. We're going to have a temperature Liberty Advisor on in the next hour, and then Dr. Judy Mikovits get caught up on all this vaccination stuff. I got some questions because it looks like we're going to be doing another big giant wave. Now, this one, you know, before it was, you know, get everybody all informed, excited, and educated on how to, and now it's going to be the way I know it needs to be done. You know, I was hoping that they, you know, they got little pockets. They were inspired to do some stuff, but I'm talking, you know, industrial military campaign of freaking signs. Well, we got a bunch more supplies delivered. So that, you know, training's over. So we got the supplies, and Donna just picked them up last night. And, okay, here we go. So today I'm going to go out and spend some time getting one of our domes. We have a big 28-foot dome here at Bob's that we use for a windbreak and kind of, you know, don't get wet and stuff. It's been raining. I mean, it is definitely when it's raining season, some of it rains, you know, and then here comes the floods. But what we'll do is go ahead and set up stations like we did a couple weekends ago out here, and we'll have the stations set up where we can do mass production. One of the things that we did, if you go, you look at the pictures and so on lovebuslibertytour.com, you'll see that we have the rolls of the plastic that we use that it doesn't rip. I mean, you put a, so you got to use a knife to make a hole in it, and then it's that woven, you know, never rip, oh my God, sandbag stuff. And what we do is we have them already sprayed, and we make the logo, you know, the artwork on it and so on. Then we roll it up, and we put, like, zip ties to it with little holes. You gotta do them beforehand because you're out there in Lone Prairie trying to just paint a butt. And we have the little piece of tape with the zip ties on it, and it's a unit. So you just have these little cylinders, you know, you're walking around with. And so, and these are the big ones. These are 5 feet wide by, you know, 6-8 feet wide. And we just make a bunch of units of those. Well, we did that, and a lot of people go put them up. But you need a campaign. You need where you put them up. They take them down, you put them up. They take them down, you put them up. So that means hundreds. So we have enough to do hundreds. So we're going to do hundreds. And what will they say? And one thing that I got is, you know, and Donna and I, we're industrious. We'll have some people helping and so on. But, you know, it gets down to where when you're not training somebody or helping them with their designs, or you're running around group to group, them doing their stuff, you can actually get some work done. And a lot of times the guys, especially young guy, man, they get creative. Ooh, and I could use this color and this color and this color and this color. And they're pieces of art, you know. And I'm going, look, man, that may be up a day. Yeah, it's going to be in my garage forever. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's not really, you know, out there being active. So it's so we're going to get down industrial plow stuff. So we can be, you know, contact me. If you live here in Arizona, you know who you are. You know, that's, you know, it's going to be, here we go. Holidays are over. It's time to get to work. We have the election things done. We got, they're coming down on it. Didn't, all of a sudden the mask thing and the shot thing just didn't go away. You know, we're going to have to really show what's what. And Arizona is a good place because there is seeds of rebellion. You know, I can see a lot of, they're not playing, but not to the point that they're just, no, we're opening. That, done. We're just done. You know, recall signatures in a day. Well, this is kind of what's going on in California. Newsom just being stupid. I don't understand these guys that do this kind of stuff, the activists, the Antifa, the violent people on the streets, that make, you know, they're the first to go. I mean, even by the people they help put in power. It's kind of the deal they make with the people. Yeah, these people are, yeah, well, we took care of them. We got rid of them. We're, you know, vote for me again. I mean, you know, as if you did the first time. So, but where's the real activism? Seeds. Future. Food. Seed companies warn of shortages, delays, so find them locally. You know, and a lot of people, there was not a seed vault, it was a lending library kind of thing. It was done, we had the show. I should look these guys up. You know, we should do this show again. Because there is in Tucson, Arizona, and it was a group of people that created, they got a grant or permission or some kind of coordination with the local community college library. And what they did is they accumulated seeds. They would describe them, what they were, put their genus on it, you know, its scientific name of whatever. And they would bank them. And then you could go and check them out. And you're supposed to go plant them. And once you had seeding plants, you would replace them. So you go, okay, well, I did this. And, you know, here's my contribution. And it would build up. And they... all of a sudden they accumulated a bunch of seeds. It was just an idea of some guy, you know, where I'm going, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And the reason was they wanted to save indigenous Arizona plants. How it started was there were a lot of crops that aren't in use anymore that the people that lived here natively lived on. You know, different kinds of maize and corns and, you know, grains and so on that's indigenous here to the Southwest. You know, they ate something. I mean, you know, what did they eat? What did they grow? What did they, you know, thrive and survive on? Well, that's what they were trying to save. And the only way to do it was, you know, grow it. And they, you know, he goes, I can't grow everything. So he created this thing and people just start growing it to be able to produce the seeds for it. This kind of thing. That's what's going to save us. And it's good occupation, keep you busy and something to do and community kind of thing anyway. Seeds. Heirloom seeds. I never even heard it. When I was a kid, you know, seeds are seeds. You know, heck, I didn't even know there was more than one tomato plant, you know. And as time goes on, then you start hearing about, you know, heirloom. Well, what does heirloom mean? I mean, I probably got to look it up and give the... But basically, they're not genetically modified seeds for people. And they're got certain traits, either it's taste or texture or goes in a certain kind of dish or grandma needs it for whatever. Or just in the variety, you don't have a crop totally go to crap. When you have movies like Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey, the whole thing, all the earth is against us, man. It, you know, all our wheat and corn crops are failing, and you know, mom nature's that mad at us, so we got to go to space and whatever. And I'm going, well, what do you think was going to happen when you have one strain? At sooner or later, it's going to. I mean, that's the whole point of diversity. You know, something targeted, you got, you know, other things to rely on, and it's not just different kinds of things, it's different in the things. You know, it's like, it's not like corn, wheat, barley. It's like this corn, that corn, that corn, this corn, that corn, this corn, that corn. I mean, it's just, you know, there's 15 gazillion types. We've lost this to industrialization of everything. And you get to the point to where the industrialization of farming, you know, an individual can't compete. Well, it doesn't matter, because it was in the 30s. This is a famous case that had a lot to do with the Commerce Clause in the Constitution. There was I remember my dad when we were driving to Arizona from Florida, you know, where we used to live until I was 12, you know, here on vacation every year, take a couple of weeks here to visit my mother's family here in Mesa. And we were coming and you see all these crops, you pass cornfields and everything. My dad said something about, yeah, they pay them not to plant. You know, how come they don't use this field? Well, they're being paid not to plant. Who's paying them? Why are they paying them? Who are you talking about who gets paid? I want to explain that to you. Getting paid, not paid, and then went to court. We'll talk about that one.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free. God knows. God knows I want to break.
There we go. Yeah, I wanted to change. The cop button wasn't working because I had the wrong thing plugged in. So you guys go, oh, Ernie, man, you're killing me. All right. Welcome back. Declare your independence to me, Ernest Hancock. This is the case. It was called Wickard versus Filburn. And when I heard this, even as a kid, I couldn't wrap my head around it. I couldn't. It was unbelievable. It was what? So it always put a question mark in your head of the, you know, the wisdom of rulers kind of thing, and the government in general, and whatever deal they, you know, say they got. Wickard versus Filburn was 1942. It was a United States Supreme Court decision that dramatically increased the regulatory power of the federal government. It's one of the most far-reaching cases concerning, it was the New Deal. This was an FDR thing. Now, keep in mind, this is after, and it started, of course, before 42. So it was, you know, during the Great Depression, you know, this has all been building up. Then, of course, we, you know, have World War One, and it's just getting going. And so this happened before World War One, and it makes it to the Supreme Court by 1942. Now, by that time, you know, after FDR and the New Deal and the government's going to everything of everything, government everything, and you can kind of go, yeah, you know, I can feel this coming. You're like, was Trump Hoover, you know? You know, there was a time to where before the New Deal, it's like, no, well, at least we can send farmers seeds. The federal government, you know, come on, man, we're the government. We can send them seeds. He goes, no, once you do that, it starts, you know. And so it was a discussion even back then. And the same thing, and we can see that the same thing is going to happen for the same reasons. You know, it's just meddling. Well, this is what happened. What they wanted to do, part of the New Deal, this set a precedent for reading the United States Constitution's Commerce Clause, you know, for decades, generations to come. You know, the goal was to put an end to the entire federal crop support program by declaring it unconstitutional. Now, it was an Ohio farmer, a guy named Roscoe Filburn, was going, now Wickard, I guess, is, I don't know, some state government rep of something, you know, the agricultural department of I Rule You. The Ohio farmer, Filburn, was growing wheat to feed his animals on his own farm. Now, the United States government had established limits on wheat production. Now, it was based on, you know, how many acres you had, and, you know, and the reason was for, you know, wheat prices and supplies to be, you know, stabilized. You know, it's like wage and price controls, you know, minimum wage stuff. I mean, it's all part of the same thing. And yeah, wage and price can, you know, minimum wage standard. Where does that jurisdiction come in from? Is that commerce? So where the hell do they get that, you know, mandate from anyway? I don't know. They'll do this kind of stuff. I tell you what happened. You'll go, what the heck? A lot of you guys probably know in the freedom movement, this is not unknown to people. But just for a refresher here, he grew more than he was permitted. All right. And he was ordered to pay a penalty, which, you know, God knows what it was. We're going to take and, you know, steal and whatever, and you're not allowed something. It was, he wasn't willing to do it. But they, he's going to have a penalty. Nope, no, I challenge the whole thing. In response, he goes, look, this wheat is not sold. Your Commerce Clause jurisdiction you say you got, I'm not selling it. It's not in commerce. I'm using it for my own animals on my own farm. What the heck are you? It's my land. It's my livestock. It's my wheat. It's my corn. It's my, you know, suck it. And they go, no. He said that because his wheat was not sold, it could not be regulated as commerce, let alone interstate commerce, described in the Constitution as commerce among the several states. Because the federal government, one of the reasons that they did this is it was weights and measures. You know, it's like, are we going to use the same currency? Are we going to use the same, you know, scales? Are we going to use the same, you know, so that we can, you know, help facilitate trade between the states, interstate commerce? Now, if you're just doing it inside a jurisdiction or inside a state, that's intrastate. You know, intrastate, now interstate, like interstate highway or something, that's between states. So then they go, all right, we're going to, you know, regulate commerce between the states. He goes, well, I'm not in commerce, but sure as heck not across the state line. So I, you know, I'm feeding my cows. What do you care? So they disagreed, and this is how they did it. Now, this is typical. Whether the subject of the regulation in question was production, consumption, or marketing is therefore not material for purposes of deciding the question of federal power before us. But even if appellee's activity be local, and though it may not be regarded as commerce, it may still, whatever its nature, be reached by Congress if it exerts a substantial economic effect on interstate commerce, and irrespective of whether such effects is not is what might at some earlier time have been defined as direct or indirect. And this is what they meant. They're saying because he didn't buy feed for his animals, because he wasn't engaged in the interstate commerce of wheat, he affected it. Because he grew his own, he was, in effect, affecting indirectly or directly the wheat usage and control of demand on other wheat. What? How is that ever you're getting out from under? So this Commerce Clause expansion thing, I think it's still there. This has not been overturned. You know, there was a case about a butcher in Louisiana or something that had something to say about this. You know, I need to bone up on my history. But the Supreme Court interpreted the Constitution's Commerce Clause in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, which permits the U.S. Congress to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes. The court decided that Filburn's wheat growing activities reduced the amount of wheat he would buy for animal feed on the open market, which is traded nationally and thus interstate, and is therefore within the scope of the Commerce Clause because he didn't trade, because he took care of his own and he didn't have to buy it. It impacted the market, and therefore the United States had control over his wheat production. This is the kind of thing that I'm looking at for, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land, and what kind of taxation they have on the land, and that you got property tax on the land, and that you, this is, once it went down this road, once it was the New Deal, once it had the idea of we get to regulate for everybody and everything always, then you went down the dark side. This is not ever going to get any better. It's mental gymnastics of the Constitution is, you know, juggled in the, however the hell they want it to do, and might as well be chicken bones. You know, some, you know, Jamaican voodoo woman throwing it goes, well, this is what we're going to do, and this is why. So I'm for challenging the whole thing. Which part do you challenge? Is there a specific part in the Constitution? They did that. They said, we read it this way. Do you challenge the idea that you're outside of their jurisdiction because I don't spell my name with capital letters on your fringe flag judge of whatever that? I mean, you know, where do you go with this? It's an attitude. It's a mindset. It's what they because they can. They do this stuff because they can. They sure as heck want to. Well, what do you think is coming in the Biden administration? Well, I might as well just say the Harris administration. What do you think is coming in the Harris administration? What do you think is coming with the support of China and all this stuff that's going on? It's whether they come over and somebody, you know, Asian is in charge or something, it's not even the point. It's a philosophy. It's an idea. It's a, what's the proper role of government? Is it this? They're going to justify, rationalize whatever they want. Make no mistake. This has been my life. Even as a little kid, having this, I think I was like 12 years old when this explained to me, because I'm looking at, why can they didn't plant here? Well, you know, they get rewards for not paying enough. They don't penalize you as much for planting. What? Even as a kid, I'm going, well, if I make more, I can make more, right? Yeah, well, the prices went down for everybody. Well, you know, then don't make that. Make something else. I mean, seriously, it's called the free market. Do we have one? Yeah.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, undefeared here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, the LibertyAdvisor.com temperature. And we're going to get learnified on a bunch of stuff that's happening now. The stock market is just being stupid to the point that I guess somebody can make money at it or protect with, kind of, you know, I'll stay over here. You know, how much more silver can I buy? I'm, you know, crypto is going up and down and up and down. Now, it's generally up. I mean, if you had some, I don't know if you're trying to play it now, you'll get your butt kicked. But, you know, when it gets down and low, oh, it's, see, I told you it's never going to work. I can't believe you guys even bought it. That's when you buy it. Then you sit back and you wait until this happens again. You know, HODL, hold on for dear life. You know, that's where that came from. HODL was somebody, I don't know, some prominent individual, you know, say hold, you know, and spelled it wrong. You know, H-O said they got the D and L transverse, so they just made a thing out of it. Hold on for dear life. That's where that came from. And that's kind of the mindset on it. Well, is that the same thing for stocks? Which stocks? You know, or are you counting on your 401k? Well, that's what Tim Pichot's going to help us with. Liberty Advisor, it's the LibertyAdvisor.com, right?
Yeah, somebody else already has Liberty Advisor. They're not really using it, and I'm sort of waiting for that till that expires, and so I am watching that one closely to maybe purchase that one. But, yeah, so it's the Liberty Advisor because someone already took the other one. So,
bastards. Okay. The one thing we had John Snyzen on yesterday. He deals a lot internationally in Europe and, you know, because, you know, he pays attention to America, Europe. He's in Canada and so on. And you guys got your own show that Tim and John. How did it become Tim and John show? I mean, why, how come not John and Tim show? You know, who decided that?
Well, Tim was doing most of the uploading and video editing and other crap. So that's why it was Tim and John show. But now we've got another guy that does a lot of that stuff for us now. But yeah, to your point, the market right now is pretty much, not pretty much, it's a complete rigged casino where just so many unusual things. I mean, and I'm only mentioning these stocks in case the SEC is listening because they're in the news, but you've got things like Live Nation, which is, you know, basically Ticketmaster, and they're, you know, with an earshot of an all-time high and just recently was at an all-time high off, and a company that markets live events. I mean, who's going to live events right now? And they're at, you know, these crazy, ridiculous all-time highs. And then what is going on with GameStop for it's, you know, it's, this is
okay.
Like
tell me this GameStop thing. I've seen it in the news. I think we had a story yesterday on Freedom's Phoenix, GameStop and the squeeze and short squeeze. And I keep hearing about short squeezes on different stocks and, you know, Tesla, this and that and so on. Short squeeze. Before we even get into the GameStop thing, explain to me what the hell a short squeeze is.
So when you short a stock, I mean, without getting like super technical, basically you're betting against it and you're betting that the price is going to go down. So you're taking somebody else's stock and basically kind of like borrowing it. And then in order to close out your position, so let's say you bought a stock at $100 and you think it's going to go down to 50 and, you know, then it goes down to 50. And if you want to then cash out, how you cash out is you then have to buy that stock back. And then at that point you're closed up. So in a short squeeze,
you lost me already. Okay, hold on. I got $100. I want to short a stock. And these calls, puts, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then there's a short squeeze. I got to get that part in.
That's
there
different.
So you understand. Yeah. Yeah, okay, well, explain it to me. You know, I mean, it's not shorting a stock. A short squeeze is something else.
When you were saying calls and puts, so a put is different than – it's a similar concept except with a finite amount that you can lose, and that's how much you paid for the put. With a short – when you short a stock, the losses are unlimited. Because like you, and that's why, and I'll get into that moment, but that's why you have a hedge fund right now that's blowing up, because the losses to the downside are infinity. Like you go bankrupt. You could actually lose more than 100% in shorting a stock if you're not protected correctly. But in a put option, you know, if you paid $5 for a put and it goes to zero, you lose your $5 put option, and that's the most you can lose. So in a short squeeze, what was going on with GameStop is you had a prominent hedge fund that was betting against GameStop, and the amount of short, the percentage that was short the stock was like over 100% of the outstanding stock was sold short, which is almost never happened. So it was something like around 140% or something like that.
Okay, now whoa, stop. Short. How is that even possible? This is kind of what Patrick Byrne was going on about, overstock, because they're selling more stock than was in existence. So so you have 140% of the stock is down. What? You can't glaze over this stuff, man. This is, you got to explain this to me.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a leverage play. So people are on margin, and so you're able to, I mean, effectively, there's more than 100%. I mean, more money was dedicated to the stock going down than it was going up. And what had happened was there's this Reddit forum called Wall Street Bets, which I actually never knew about until a couple of days ago. And there's 2 million people on this Reddit forum, and one of their darling stocks that a lot of these people liked was GameStop. And then they found out that this one hedge fund guy was going against it at Melvin Capital. And so basically these, you know, 2 million army of day traders went up against a billionaire, and then the billionaire got his ass kicked. And so, you know, like a month ago, the stock was at 20, or actually, you know, probably like a couple weeks ago, the stock was at $18. And so somebody else came out with a research report saying they think it's going to go down. And that guy got attacked and they came after him. And so what happens when in a short squeeze is that in order to close out your position, you have to buy the stock back. So a lot of people that were short this stock, you know, you start going from 18, 20, up to 30, up to 40. I mean, you're getting your butt handed to you. And so in order to stop the losses, you need to buy back the stock. But to buy back the stock, then you're creating more demand. You got all these Redditors people buying the stock while you have the people that are getting squeezed out of their position. That's why it's a short squeeze, because they need to buy back their position. And so if these people thought the stock was overvalued at 18, they definitely think it's overvalued at 100. They definitely think it's overvalued at 200. And actually, I mean, the craziness, when I came on air, it was up 98%, and now it's up 68% today. Just right now, it's up 68% in just the last 2 hours. And then so it's called a short squeeze because there's very little shares kind of outstanding. And then to close out your position, you need to buy that back, which creates more momentum. And you've got all these day traders who are, buying into this at the same point that these hedge funds are going to have to close out of the position. And so this hedge fund was about to blow up. And then they got a loan from another hedge fund that had positions in that hedge fund. It's just such a crazy thing with having, I mean, basically GameStop is a company that sells game. I mean, they sell,
it's a retail outlet that has, games for your PS, whatever the hell, you know? So it's just,
like back in the day, I think it was called Electronic Boutique. So people might remember that, or EB Games. I think they ended up merging.
They're in the malls or something, and stuff like that. I think they also sell used games too. You know, they're kind of like a record store.
Yeah.
You know, I want to understand this more, because more of this stuff happens, and it's a sign of there's a bunch of money out there getting flung around. And when does that happen? When there's a bunch of easy money, and then the stock market goes. These are all signs of this. You know, so we need to understand it more. We will.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
All right, I'm trying to, in the break, get an understanding so I can simply explain it, and it's not happening yet. But it's just like when you watch The Big Short, the movie of what happened, they call it credit default swaps that, you know, send us into oblivion, and then they go, Yeah, well, we'll call it something else and do it again. It's just, you know, juggling all kinds of crap because we can, Wall Street and politicians, and they can get away with it and separate you from your money. But a short squeeze is like, if I, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, Tim, trying to simplify this for me. I have a stock that's out there that's worth $100. You know, I go, okay, I think it's going to be $50. So I'm going to go ahead and short that in such a way that I'm going to borrow it from you and say, and I, do I set an amount? Do I say 50? At 50, I get to buy it back, and then and they say, okay, fine. I mean, you know, explain that to me. Do I set an amount to where I think it's going to go down?
You could. I mean, at that point, essentially what you're doing is putting in a buy order. So you put a limit buy saying, hey, we want to buy when XYZ stock hits 50. And so you're...
Well, hell, I do that all the time. You know, when I used to play on the stock market, I go, yeah, when I just... Or hell, you do it on Bittrex with crypto. When it hits this, let me know. Just buy it, you know? What good is that?
Yeah, now the problem is it can go the opposite direction. So instead of going to $50, it could go to $550, and then you're screwed.
Then I don't buy it.
Especially, you know, you're on. But the thing is, you can lose more than that. But then eventually, you can lose more than 100%.
Okay, so
of
I'm committing.
So you're on margin too, and so eventually you're going to get a margin call because you're not going to have enough. You're not going to have enough money in your account, and so then you're, because I mean, if something is up, you know, let's say you put your money in this, you know, you got to maintain a certain margin, and so if something was parabolic stupid like GameStop is doing, I mean, GameStop's up 20% just since the break, to give you an idea of how crazy this is. Just since the last break, it's up 20%. And there's another stock doing the exact same thing right now. AMC Entertainment Holdings is up 212% today, this morning. Because that was another one of these stocks that I think that Melvin Capital was also shorting. So now this Wall Street Bets Reddit crowd is literally trying to take down these billionaires, and so it's actually quite awesome. It's almost like a Robin Hood type thing. We've got these, you know, I mean, someone's going to walk away. You know, a lot of people are going to walk away. You know, losing a lot of money off of this, and a few people probably make a bunch of money off of it. But I mean, I think that the Wall Street crowd has the right idea that GameStop is probably not a great long-term thing to be in.
Well, it doesn't matter if you got 2 million people sitting there wanting to screw you because they want to screw you.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. So that's not, you know, I wouldn't really consider this investing. I mean, this is, at this point, it's, you know, complete gambling and speculation. But they're doing, so now you got people who are now actively researching companies that have gigantic short interest, and then are buying those, and then, you know, going on these Reddit forums, and then hordes of other people to buy them with the intent to basically squeeze out these billionaires and, you know, cause a lot of pain for them. Which, you know, I'm not shedding any tears for, you know, billionaire hedge fund New York City guys losing much money, because what they could have done is they could have also, these hedge fund guys could have bought call options to help protect their position in case they end up, which could have helped.
Well, no, they do the same thing. They're whales going around spreading their money, and I go, it's going to go up because I bought a bunch. It's going to go down because I sold a bunch. I mean, they've been doing this forever, you know, without competition.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the big
yeah.
banks doing the same thing. You got a small market cap like crypto, and they'll just, you know, buy and sell, buy and sell, manipulate the market all the hell and back and forth wherever they can. You know, so I mean, what do you think was going to happen? Sooner or later, you know, this stuff happens. So I can see where, but it seems like it's almost, it's more just making money. They're doing it because they can. They probably, like Robin Hood was some kid in his grandma's basement could, you know, trade without a whole bunch of regulation and doing, that was kind of the problem there. But it was this. It was have crowd power. They're just doing it because they can. And they're coordinated on a Reddit, or they're coordinating because do they really think the company like AMC is going to start making a whole bunch of money on movie tickets wearing a mask? I mean, you know, I that's not the point. It's because they can, but I need to understand the mechanism for it. So somebody comes in and they see that there's a bunch of shorts on a product. And Tesla was a good point for this, because they were looking at not the future. They didn't have this Steve Jobs, we love us some, you know, Apple, or it's Elon Musk, we love us some, we're investing in the future, we got a cause and onward soldiers, what they were doing is the other side is going, no, your financials suck, you're not going to do it, and they were beating it into the ground in the media. They get, you know, Jim Cramer up there to go, sell, you know, whatever the heck they got to do in the media and hammer it, and then you got the, you know, the fanboys going, no, keep doing that. We're just going to keep buying it. We're going to keep buying it. Oh, we made a bunch of money off of you. You lost money. Ha, 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 screws you. What's the fundamentals? A lot of times it doesn't matter. They were investing in a future. They were investing in, or they're investing just to screw you. That is, I understand that part, you know, and the billionaires are coming up against crowdfunding of people. Oh, yeah, it's called the internet and it sucks to be you. Then there'll be a law. You're not allowed to do this anymore. Our billionaires got screwed and they can't give us enough campaign contributions. So we're going to change something. But what I don't understand is I need to understand how the market works. If I'm a rich guy and I come in and I'm going to sell, I think it's going to go short. Then I go in and I register with somebody. I'm going to somebody and saying, okay, I'm gonna take these number of stock and I'm gonna say that these $100 shares are going to go to 50. So I'm gonna buy, you know, 10 shares at $1,000, and I give this $100 stock $1,000. It's going to go, and I borrow that from, I guess, somebody that would sell it to me. And how long do I get to borrow it? I mean, forever, you know, or a limited time? When does he get back? How does it work?
Bankrupt.
Well, how does that
work?
Well,
until you get a margin call and go bankrupt.
Okay, now you're talking about they're doing it on margin. Now they're not even putting up, you know, any money. They're putting up a little bit, or...
Well, no, you are putting up... Yeah, you have to have a certain percentage depending on the brokerage. I mean, let's say it's probably like 30 to 50% that you probably have to keep in there. And so you can hypothetically lose more than 100% in this type of arrangement. And so these guys had... Melvin Capital had other hedge funds invested in them, and then some of those other hedge funds had to go extend them a loan to basically help protect their own butts. And then, I mean, things are getting so wild right now that...
So the crowd, the Reddit just went, oh, got more hedge funds. Oh, another one's going to bail them out. Hey, we'll bring the government in. It's all good, man. Everybody, bye, 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 bye. We're going to screw everybody because we can.
And there's so much activity. There's so much activity this morning that I'm reading a report right now on Zero Hedge that E-Trade is down, Robinhood is down, TD Ameritrade is having problems, Charles Schwab is having problems, Reddit's having problems, Fidelity's having problems, LA Financial's having problems, Vanguard's having problems, TD Bank is having problems, Merrill Bank of America is having problems, Webull is having problems, Interactive Broker and Vanguard are all, because there's so many retail people going crazy on their platforms right now, that there's outages all across the country at major broker dealers right now.
Wow.
It's on Zero Hedge right now.
Well, has there been any precedent in history for this? When we come back, that's what we're going to find out. We're going into break. When we come back, Tim's going to explain it to us. What does this mean?
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we got Tim Pichot on LibertyAdvisor.com trying to understand what the heck is going on. Because as we're looking at Donna, go ahead and start putting up this, Wall Street's going to crap, you know. Retail brokerages suffer widespread outages as short squeeze surge accelerates. Retail brokerages are going out. It's broke. We wish we could trade, but, we turned it off. I mean, you mean outages?
I was just trying to make a trade on TD Ameritrade. I did right before I came on air, and it was going slower than usual. It worked, but it was seemed like it was taking longer than usual. But to load the page, but it worked. I don't really know what's going on. I mean, just maybe they're just getting overloaded, like scaling issue. That, you know, a lot of times they don't really have, you know, you get some sort of 10x, 100x bandwidth, like a Bitcoin scaling type problem. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, well, they have a thing called down detector. You know, it's down. You know, it's like, I guess it happens enough when you don't want it to happen. They got a detector. You know, so reports that Robinhood, Ameritrade, E-Trade, Charles Schwab, Fidelity are experiencing issues or outages as a U.S. cash session began around 9:30 Eastern time. So U.S. cash session, what does it mean?
Would you say U.S. what? U.S. cash what?
Cash session began. Outages as the U.S. cash session began.
It probably means that, I'm guessing it means when the market opens.
All right, well, they got to use a little special word.
And so, and then actually, I just went to downdetector.com, too. I've never been there before, so you can see, I guess, all the different companies that are down right now or big problems that they're having.
Really?
Okay. And so I've never been here before. But
you know, I remember there was a movie, it was Broken Arrow. You know, it was about, John Travolta and Ethan Hawke or something, whatever, doesn't matter. They were, you know, transporting a nuclear device on a plane, and then one, you know, Travolta guy, you know, tries to steal it, and it's outquit it, and so on. So they call it a broken arrow. When you lose a nuke, they're, oh, broken arrow, man. They get all serious about that. And I remember one of the characters from the administration is out, you know, evaluating the situation, see what's up. And he goes, I don't know what scares me more, that we lost it or it happens enough that we got a name for it. And that's what I'm looking at down detector. I don't know what, you know, is more worrisome, that, you know, you have trading go down when people want to trade, or they got to decide for it. You know what I mean? So it's like when, that's one thing about cryptos. You know, if the internet's up, it works. Maybe not on an exchange, but if you're exchanging between people, but what happens when the exchange goes down? That's what you're talking about, third-party intervention shenanigans. It's kind of your money. You just can't have it now. So it's always, and this happened with Bitcoin when it shot up before, you would lose a gazillion dollars in one, transaction fee, and two, just the delay of it happening. So I guess you're always using one of these brokerage houses to be able to make a trade, right? There's not like a person-to-person trade.
I know that they have the technology to do something like T0, and I've heard Patrick talk about this, that, you know, it's technically feasible, possible to have, you know, like an Apple stock being represented by a token, and in the future have like atomic swap where you can trade Bitcoin for Apple, or I can trade my Apple for your Tesla, just as a two examples. But the thing is, from a regulatory KYC, the government needs to know every single thing you're doing standpoint, will never be allowed, because you've got these big banks and brokerages who make billions of dollars off of putting themselves in the middle of all this stuff in the name of, you know, convenience, in the name of, you know, we care about you, terrorist, Patriot Act type stuff. And so from a regulatory standpoint, it can't be done. But from a technological standpoint, it seems like it very well could be done.
Could this also be a PSYOP? I see PSYOP in everything. Could this, what's happening right now, be a PSYOP for fundamental changes in the way the market works?
All the websites going down, or the short squeezing, or which?
Yeah, there's going to be gazillions of people going, hey, man, I couldn't trade when I wanted to. You're saying the great American capitalist system of it was closed, you know, or I can't, or they overcame, or they did this, you know, that, and kind of in the trade and the 3-day waiting, or the later of a settlement of something. You know, this is all the stuff that T0, Patrick Byrne did, when he experienced that more of his stock was out there being traded than existed. And they were, you know, doing this short thing, trying to make money off of his company, run it in the ground. They didn't like him, of whatever. So when we started, this is when we started having Patrick on back in 09, 10. You know, Patrick Byrne and I weren't, you know, about philosophy, you know, in the beginning so much as we were about what happened to his company and how the financial system worked. When blockchain technology came around, he understood that a lot of the problems that was happening with this pig's breakfast, he called it, you know, everybody was just bleeding. It didn't matter who won or lost. It was all the houses and the brokers, and all of them got, you know, a gleaning of everything that was trade. So he's going, the whole system has just got this bleed that goes to everybody that doesn't actually produce or do anything. He goes, this sucks. And it's because of this delay, the settlement. You buy it, it'll be a day, a two, a three, or whatever, never, that it actually settles and you physically own it. So he's going with blockchain technology created, and it's on NASDAQ, and he actually is using it to trade some, I think, overstocks on it. And it's called T0, where there's zero time from the actual trade. to the settlement. Transaction zero time. So I'm seeing this happen. I'm going, how is that not a solution? You see my point?
Yeah, no, and I was very supportive of everything that Patrick was doing, both, I guess, then and still what he's doing and the other government things that he's up to. But, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in the middle of putting yourself in the middle of all this stuff or having, you know, one day to settle. There's money to be made. And so, you know, Patrick is going up against this legacy type system. But the thing is, I mean, we're here talking about the minutiae of a lot of these different topics, but you know, I think the more important thing to kind of focus on is that everything is going to be going digital. They're going to have a digital Fed coin that you've been talking about longer than probably anybody out there. And I think we're at the precipice where it's happening right now. And so we don't want to necessarily lose focus of that. And we have, you know, one of the new SEC guy is a Gary Gensler, which he was a Goldman Sachs guy that I think was, you know, in charge. He would have been the guy that would have gotten like John Corzine in trouble, but John Corzine was his former CEO at Goldman Sachs. So he was, so when Gensler was at the CFTC, he didn't do anything to him. And then he's also teaching like blockchain classes, I think, at MIT. So you've got an SEC guy that's pro Bitcoin. And then you also have I think the new Office of Comptroller Currency, currently it's a Coinbase guy, a former legal advisor. And then now I think they want to put in like a Ripple board member. So, I'm not a fan of Ripple, but maybe that could be positive news for Ripple. Who knows? I'm not, you know, not touching it, but they're going to tie it to the vaccine rollout. I mean, all this stuff is happening. You see, you know, I think I saw
universal basic income mechanism.
Yep. And then they're talking about having the vaccine to fly now. I mean, I knew that it was coming, which is one of the reasons why I was looking into getting an RV, because my family lives in New York. So, you know, and they're probably going to extend it to hotels. So we're just all going to be second-class citizens that aren't able to, fly or not able to go to a hotel and, you know, just trying to make life inconvenient. But, you know, I still have not worn a mask in almost 7 months now, not even once. So it's, I'm still been having a pretty good time. So, but I mean, it's not, you know, super fun. I mean, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I've seen some people resisting. Like Josh and I were at the store the other day and we saw 12 people walking around Safeway without a mask. Now it's very unusual. Maybe it's like usually like one other person usually in the grocery store, but you know, the other day we saw 12. We're like, oh man, what's going on? This is, I mean, Saturday night.
It's a flash mob.
And then you go to a park and you see, like hundreds of people and little kids all running around and maybe 5% have masks on. But this goes to show you that people don't care. They're just worried about what 17-year-olds say to them, you know, at the front of the
or
school.
Or not.
They go and,
more temperature, Liberty Advisor.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
With temperature, the Liberty Advisor. .com. You know, we're talking about a lot of, you know, these things that are happening in and around the stock market. You know, that you say it, I go on Zero Hedge or, you know, any of the other sites that you look at. Oh, man, it's all the talk. Oh, this short squeeze thing is, you know, kicking ass on whatever. And the only time I ever heard this really before, I mean, you hear it kind of in the background, but it was with Tesla. You know, Tesla, they were doing everything they could to drive that into the ground because they thought they could and they could make a bunch of money. And I guess they haven't made any profit. And well, they did the same thing with Amazon. You know, Amazon didn't make profit for a freaking decade or more, you know. So it kept hammering on it. And they got the fanboys or other people or investors. They go, well, we'll keep buying it. And good, we like it when you kind of drive it down. It makes it cheaper for us, and then they buy more, and they get overwhelmed, and people go bankrupt. And they get the crap beat out of them. And a lot of people did on Tesla also, because they're up against an opinion or a mood. And that's where you see people like the Elliott Wave. Elliott was a, you know, it's organic fractal. You can see repeating patterns in nature and organics everywhere. And he goes, and Bob Proctor that I'd have on a regular basis, and he'd call it, you know, on metals, you know, they're going up and down and different things. He said, stock market is human beings interacting with a number. It demonstrates, make it easy because it's a number. I got a number out here. Represents all that. I go, but what about the fraud? What about the coercion? What about the government? What about the intervention? What about, he goes, that's all part of it. He goes, of course. It's always that. You know, it's nature. I mean, there's always interventions from out of the woodwork or whatever, but there's a general mood thing going on. Well, a lot of that is in, you know, using social media. Well, all of a sudden, Tim Pachota is like, you know, we're not playing anymore. Well, you know, tell the people about what you've done and how that's influenced or impacted your advice on economics.
What I've done from like a money management client standpoint, or what I've done from
both. I mean, you know, well, first I want to know, you know, you deplatformed yourself, or don't want, you don't do, and then how not having that influence you now, how it's impacted, you know, your advice. I mean, so it's both. You know, start off with, you know, what sites you've abandoned or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really impacted my advice any, but it has freed up a lot more time, a lot more headspace. And effectively, I mean, I got on Facebook in 2004, you know, probably before just about almost anybody, and was a daily user, wasting my time in there, you know, from the age of 18 to all the way to now. So it's, you know, it feels freeing to get off of there. But, you know, if you're not talking to anybody and you're, you know, the first 2 months I created like a fan page, I had 32,000 people following it. And then you were telling me, hey, you got to get emails. And but, you know, I was only 2 months into it and fighting what I thought was, you know, trying to keep Hillary out of there. And then, you know, November 16th, 2016, I was completely shadow banned and they effectively cut off my ability to reach anybody. And so at this point, you know, we pay our attention and what you watch, what you are focusing on, you know, our data is worth something. And these people that hate us and are trying to bring in, you know, communism and to the, you know, worldwide are making money off of me while suppressing me. And so I don't want to play that game. And I see other libertarians who are like, you know, we need to lobby Facebook to get back on there. And I saw, you know, there's some, you know, prominent libertarians who did get recently reinstated and they're like, yay, we're back on Facebook. And I'm like, what is the point of being, having, you know, libertarian groups, like even like Mises groups on Facebook? I'm like, we can't even get off of, and he's saying we, you know, but if, you know, the more hardcore people, if we can't even leave the platform and we're addicted to it, then who else is going to? So I was planning on getting off before the end of the year. And then I got super busy and I wanted to make sort of a, like a, you know, have some sort of spectacle of it. And so I, you know, waited till the Chinese agent, Joe Biden, got in there. And at that point, you know, went on like a 2-hour live stream rant, which you can find at thelibertyadvisorshow.com. Or if you just go to the Liberty Advisor, there's a media section. And so now I've got my own website where I've got videos that are linked on like a private server type deal. And I've got them backed up in my own server. And you can go directly to the website and you're not watching a YouTube video. You're not watching any of that other crap, which you still can. I haven't been kicked off of there yet. But most, I mean, for the last 2 years, just like yourself, just like a lot of audience members, I've been telling people to go to BitChute and, you know, okay, great. I've got like 300 people over there. I've been telling people to go to the library and probably have 300 people over there and been telling people to do other things. But nobody, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. And now Josh is kicking butt big time on BitChute. Like every video he does now on BitChute is getting like 15,000 views on BitChute. So he's got like 16,000 I think subscribers, and he gets like 15,000-16,000 for every video now, and that's rapidly increasing. So we're actually bigger. World Alternative Media now is actually bigger on getting more views on BitChute than we were in the waning days of YouTube because of all the censorship that was going on. So, I mean, it's actually, you know, it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. But he still doesn't have a website. He still, you know, all things that I've, you know, been bitching at him about even as recently as yesterday. So, but, you know, it's, and then in terms of the advice, I mean, it's not, you know, I'm not wasting my time on all that BS anymore. And actually, I just read this, speaking of wasting time, I just saw this right now. We were talking about two masks during the break. There's actually on InfoWars right now, there's an article through CNBC, a video saying the efficacy of wearing three masks now is the new.
Oh.
So the two masks was only around for like a week or something. Now there's, I'm literally, yeah, I'm not even joking.
And you're just playing with us, man.
Talking about three masks.
They're just playing. You know, this is reminds me, there was a Saturday Night Live skit that was God, it was an old one. It had to be 80s or something. I remember I was a kid or young. And it was multi-track razors. You know, you had single-blade razors. Then it went to two. Then it went to three. And they came out and they go, oh, five razor blades. And they were making fun of it. You know that, oh, it's five. Now they got five, you know. They got the Mach 5.
I will say I do like my five-blade razor.
Yeah, whatever, man. I mean, you know, it's just a fact that they, of course they are. You know, is it? Whatever. So this is what they're, it reminds me of a Saturday Night Live thing. They're going to have this freaking 47 mask thing that they're huffing through, you know, if they were Saturday Night Live like they used to be. But so when you went off of Facebook, what, any immediate impact on your anything other than you got more time?
I mean, it's been 6 days, so I mean, we're still out there, but I've been posting a little bit on Float, but not like crazy. I mean, then again, the waning days of Facebook, I wasn't really posting too much in there anyways. But yeah, I'm usually, you know, making one post a day on float.app, which is, you know, Aaron and Kingsley Edwards' platform, and they're rocking and rolling over there getting. I mean, there's, you know, it's a little bit slow because they've had massive amounts of traffic increase. Like BitChute's had a massive amount of traffic increase. Libraries, I mean, all these alternative platforms have been massively expanding. And then you get something like Parler, which I'm sure you've, you know, touched on a bunch, where it's like, yeah, the family that, you know, owned Cambridge Analytica and was selling out your data, they're the ones who own part of Parler. And then, by the way, they keep it on AWS, and you have to give up a driver's license in order to be like their blue check mark. And so
AWS, Amazon.
Like, I almost feel, I mean, you know, I don't feel, for anyone that was dumb enough to give up their driver's license to Parler, I mean, I think you almost deserve to be hacked at that point. I mean, you're like, oh yeah, the new free speech platform. All you need to do is, let's give up your driver's license front and back to.
Yeah,
the
no,
same
I'm. I give you an example. There was Patrick Byrne was on Dave Rubin, and they met and kind of liked each other. So Patrick invested and has helped pimp locals.com. It's local with an S, locals.com. And it's kind of a, you know, multimedia platform for content providers and whatever. And I'll go check it out. You know, I mean, this might be one of the things, and, you know, because I'm limited in what I want to play with. We're working on Float. Donna, you know, put the stuff on Float, and we're still looking for it. See, the problem with BitChute, it's not content provider friendly. I mean, to load up a video, if I'm doing three hours a day, you never get caught up. I mean, it takes so long to process it, but I'm like, nah, you know, YouTube's got it on that, man. They see, they went for the content thing. Man, you want to put it up, boom, we rock and roll. Well, Locals, you read it in terms of service, and it's all this copyright and somebody and doing strike, and we can take you down and, you know, get over it. So I'm just going, it's more of the same. It's going to be Hollis, you know.
Yeah, especially if you're starting off with that with the policy. I mean, it's only going to get worse from there. So, I mean, a lot of times, right, they're dependent on that stuff and eventually sell out. So definitely a bad sign if that's, you know, my first impression of that platform. But, you know, so, but by and large, I mean, I don't think the human psyche is meant to deal with, you know, reading thousands of comments or, you know, back when I was getting a lot of traction, I mean, you know, tens of thousands of comments and things and people, you know, confused and into this whole thing. Human psyche, I don't think it's really meant for that. And so, you know, I do find myself a little bit happier being off there. And so, you know, I guess you don't
know. Happier Tim.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in west of Phoenix, out in the desert, and we're doing it now. What we're going to do, we're going to caught up a lot of stuff that's going on now, a lot of things have been happening, and Dr. Judy Mikovits is a great friend of the show, and we've been talking to her for a long time, getting an understanding of what was coming, and now it's kind of like, what's here? So we're definitely into it's here, and we're here. So I wanted to make sure that she's getting us accurate so that we can make our own case, and when, you know, you're going up against someone, certainly in a public forum, they're armed with some bullet points, and some pharmaceutical company sent them some 3x5 cards in the mail, and kind of, this is what you say and how you shut up dad. And I go, okay, all right, well, let's get into it. Now, last week, conversation that we had was right after she had done the Union of the Unwanted, which is a, you know, internet influencer group of dozens of guys that been deplatformed, whatever, or don't like it, or know that they're soon to be gone, have come together, and just to share solutions and different things and topics and guests and so on. So once they hit my archive, they went look, and they're like, damn, I want to talk to this guy, this woman, this kid, you know, whatever, Ernie. So absolutely, and that's why we did it. When we first started doing radio back in 03, we put their whole bio, like we do now, in the archive for Dr. Judy. You'll see all of her sites, a lot of her material, what's current then, her bio, contact information, because that's why she was here, is to spread the word. Well, you know, back in the day, it was, you know, some activists and selected media outlets such as ourselves that knew this was coming. Now it's like I'm freaking thankful that she even remembers my name. You know, it's like, you know, I know Dr. Judy. Now, one of the things when you were at, we didn't talk about this, but you were at a conference or giving a presentation or something when I texted you last weekend or weekend before, we were making a bunch of signs. And I wanted to make sure that this sign, we kind of crafted it amongst some of the activists here when we were making the stencils. And I know what they wanted to say, but everyone wants to be too weird. So what it said was small M, capital RNA, which Tim Pochot just told us that Moderna's stock ticker is mRNA. I'm like, well, of course it is, okay? So we had a small M, capital RNA, shots, because it's not a vaccine, mRNA shots equal GMO humans. And I'm thinking I'm going to make a big sign of that and do a whole bunch of times of it. You know, how accurate is that? What do you think when you hear that sign, mRNA shots equal GMO humans, Dr. Judy? What do you think? Dr. Judy, you got to turn on your microphone. Oh, yeah, I got to readmit her. I got you there, Dr. Judy.
I'm back?
Yeah, there you go. You know, I did the intro for you and everything, and then I asked a question. When we did, we asked you when you were at that conference, you know, on one of the signs that one of the activists wanted to do, and we made, you know, Tim was saying that mRNA is a stock ticker for Moderna. And I'm going, well, isn't that interesting?
Right.
So we had a sign that said mRNA, small m, capital RNA, shots, because it's not a vaccine, equals GMO humans. Right. What kind of impact is that? How accurate is that statement?
Well, it is accurate because the shot is actually, the drug is actually gene therapy. So it actually is the way we used to make gene therapy vectors. It's not mRNA from a virus. It's synthetic messenger RNA. And so it literally is changing your cells into, production factories, little factories for the toxic parts of three virus families, the coronavirus family, the HIV virus family, and the gamma retrovirus family. So it's a deadly weapon, and it's gene therapy, and it changes your body forever. We'll never know through the generations the damage that is done to the millions who have already gotten it.
Now, one of the things that was of concern to a lot of people was sterility. And that's been a common theme of all these inoculation efforts throughout Africa and a lot of developing countries and so on. You know, it's always been, you know, we got to have population control, and they're making too many babies, and we gotta. And then it comes out that all these big giant campaigns have had sterilization effects on entire countries. Is that, you know, been researched on these vaccines and so on? Because that's already starting to be a concern.
Right. Well, nothing's been done on these vaccines. You know, no research has been done in this. This is how they get away with it. The Gardasil vaccine is similar in using the virus-like particles, which are the lipid nanoparticles, which go into every cell. And in this particular, you know, gene therapy, you know, sterilization will be a major issue because of the expression of the gamma retrovirus envelope known as syncytin. Syncytia are the fusion of the cells. And that's one of our endogenous. We have just the envelope of that. That's the gamma retrovirus family. And it's necessary to implant the fetus into the uterus and infuse it. And so without syncytin, if you're injecting a synthetic syncytin into every cell of your body, you're going to have autoimmune reactions. Therefore, it will sterilize you because you will attack yourself and no longer express that key protein, syncytin, which is the only way mammals implant uterus. That's the mechanism and, you know, God-given.
Okay, now has this been researched, or it's suspected, it's feared, it's been shown? What?
Oh, it's proven decades. We know the...
No. I mean that their synthetic is going to cause this problem.
Well, yes, because you're expressing the protein of syncytin from another animal or from another being or synthetic. So you'll make an autoimmune, meaning you'll attack that because your body's going to see this as non-self. Because it's not your own protein. Even when you put this is some of the problem with having all the aborted fetal tissue, those two or four cell lines in the vaccines, because somebody else's syncytin from another person, from an aborted human, doesn't matter whether it's animal, human, fly, lizard. You know, when your immune system sees a protein that is not self, it attacks. That's the definition of autoimmunity. And so the autoimmunity has been twisted to think it's somehow your own defect that comes out of nowhere. No, it's an acquired immune dysfunction or deficiency. It's an AIDS disease because the primary job of our immune system is to determine self from non-self. So when you inject a non-self syncytin protein, synthetic mouse, monkey, bird, cow, aborted fetal tissue, doesn't matter. You will attack it, and if you attack it, you will attack your own self, and that will be the mechanism by which it sterilizes.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Judy about what we can expect future studies to be.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
With Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, we left the last segment with the question. I'm wondering when we're going to have stats, you know, a manifestation of a lot of the fears that we have. As a, you know, older guy, I guess, you know, I never felt old, but 59 years old, we were, you know, we make babies back in the 80s, and our kids are in their 30s now. And at the time, you know, we were fertile. Of course, we didn't get a bunch of shots and everything, but, you know, our peers have problems. You know, we're at church, and they're just, you know, they're talking about, you know, the nurseries, you know, aren't filling up as much as they used to, and they have, you know, fertility problems. And I'm wondering if the vaccine schedule started to have something to do with that. And then, you know, we start hearing about that. Then we're starting hearing about these vaccines with their synthetic hormones, whatever the heck is going in there. is going to cause some problems, or expression of proteins that the RNA shots, not a vaccine. That's another thing I want to get from Dr. Judy. If they're not vaccines, how are they getting vaccine liability protection? But let's talk about that. Then let's get into, when are we going to start seeing symptoms manifest, or the shots themselves, you know, get the blame, or how will we link it to where we're starting having infertility problems or autoimmune problems? I mean, the same kind of stats we've been trying to, you know, amplify what's going on, and we have evidence for right now, which is, you know, why we have, you know, 1,200 studies, 1,400 studies. Oh, there's no study. The heck there is. There's a whole bunch of them out there showing that these things are problems. So they're going to be problems. When are we going to see the stats? And also, if it's not a vaccine, how are they getting protection for limited liability or no bot liability for vaccines? So start with either one of those, and then answer the other one also.
Well, it's disheartening, but it's easy to answer the first one about the stats. Because of the censorship, which we've you know, experienced the last, for me personally, it's been a decade, for you it's been forever. And, you know, so because of this censorship, you know, we're not going to see the stats. So I think you know, we're not going to see the true numbers. I think you might remember a slide I presented at the Vaccine Education Summit, September 28th of what now, 2018, 2 years ago there in Phoenix. And that slide talked about vaccine court. And it was a publication from the New York Times, I believe around June 17th of that year, of 2018, when these advocacy groups were starting to show all the injuries, and you were having the summits, and people were waking up to, hey, these things aren't safe as sugar water. They're dangerous, and they've never been tested. And so, at that time in that article, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the Vaccine Court, National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, when the New York Times published, is vaccines are only one in a million injury. And though we're seeing 4, 5, 10% serious adverse events on the streets, they're at Petco Park a few weeks ago when they just started rolling these things through the parking lot. Oh, that's really sterile. We're starting to see many, many people drop like flies. We know Hank Aaron died, you know, 2 weeks after the vaccine, and he was in perfect shape. And so that was there's Larry King. No, so all these people are in line getting the vaccines, and they're dropping dead at a Norwegian nursing home, you know, more than 30 deaths. A third of the people giving the shots died, you know, within a few weeks, if not immediately. So, but all of that right now has been covered up. They're going to make this one in a million. That's why they're saying, oh, we've already injected millions. Oh, we've already inoculated millions. And therefore, this is their way of minimizing the deaths and the injury. Oh, it's the greater good. You know, we've heard that, we've seen that, we've lived that, and they're just reinventing the wheel. And as for the legality and the lawfulness of any of this stuff, you know, this is why I sent to Donna this morning or last night, whenever I sent it, Dr. David Martin, and it's a short clip of about 27 minutes, where he goes in, because this is his expertise. He shows that Moderna was a gene therapy company, was a chemotherapy, a drug company. And then they changed themselves they just transformed themselves. And we saw it. I saw it in my career. All you had to do was call your toxic drug a vaccine, and then all liability was removed. And so this is why, Dr. Martin, myself, people around the world are saying, this is not a vaccine. Stop calling it a vaccine. It does not produce any kind of immunity. It makes you sick We're seeing that. Everybody's getting flu-like symptoms, coughing, dropping, falling out, very, very sick, in bed for a week. You know, that these kinds of things, but you're not hearing these adverse events, and you won't hear these adverse events unless now the freedom movement, now the health freedom movement. So last week on the highwire.com, Del Bigtree show last week, the highwire.com, and I'll text Donna a link to that. But at the very end of the show, he said, okay, we're going to do it ourselves. We are going to write us. If you had any kind of adverse event, write us. We'll get it to our lawyers. Several of the attorneys there, you remember Aaron Seary, was actually at the Vaccine Education Summit. So, you know, we the community anticipated this, and this is the most important message. If you so much as got a headache, a sniffle, or were in bed, you know, from that vaccine, call them and they will record the accurate adverse events, because the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, known as VAERS, records less than 1% of the true injuries of vaccines because of the plague of corruption, because of the censorship, because the news media are spinning out there, oh, it's only one person. No, Hank Aaron was 80. Have natural causes. If you saw that man on that tape, no, that wasn't natural causes. And we fought these, and we published these in our book, Plague of Corruption. Dr. Rossetti and I had done several cases of the flu shot causing similar things. And we knew this was, you know, where an 87-year-old man literally rolled out of bed the next day and died. And so this is giving, we're able to show these shots are now, and in fact, the flu vaccine is not a vaccine either. It doesn't develop immunity, and it doesn't prevent infection. It actually sheds infectious virus, many of the forms. And see, we're waking up the entire world to this fact. How they get away with it is, hey, if they can get away with destroying the world, with stealing an election, if they can just say it is so and it magically becomes so, you know, that's what we're fighting against.
Yeah, Dr. Judy Mikovits. And on the front line all this time. Well, we're very honored to have her.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Dr. Judy Mikovits. You know, I was just telling her about the soccer tournament we went to this weekend, to where, man, they sent home every piece of paper, text, email, you got a mask or you're all going to die and be shot on site and all this kind of stuff, in the parking lot, 4x8 or plastic signs of you got to, or you're going to lose your $5, no refund, we're going to kick you out and shoot you. And I'm just like, wow. So, of course, Donna and I, we're like middle-aged old people that, you know, we're invisible, I guess, anyway. So they just, nobody said anything. And it was just, I mean, it's a joke. Everybody's always kind of got wrapped around their chin or something. It's just wearing your Star of David in Nazi Germany thing. You know, I complied. And, you didn't comply? You don't have your star on? I mean, so I see this coming and it's building up and it's going to be more and more inconvenience. And now, a couple of days ago, I saw to where the new Vogue is double masks. And then Tim was saying he just saw triple masks. And I'm going, and we got Dr. Judy, you know, writing books about no masks. So if you're complaining about even wearing one mask and the health impact it has on you, what do you think about two or three, Dr. Judy?
I mean, I can't even believe it. I mean, I can't even believe that anyone, and I just have to say it, how stupid can you really be? I mean, can you really look around you the last 6 months? You know, it's not just our books that went over all the data of the last 50 years, or the facts there wasn't a single study anywhere in the history of mass to show that in any way that this prevents or does anything other than exacerbate, make worse, viral diseases, make worse the transmission, make you sick. All the data says exactly the opposite. And yet now it's like, oh, well, it didn't work, folks, because everybody's still getting sick. Oh, it didn't work, folks. Let's just wear two. You know, are we really that dumb? You know, are we really? I mean, I see these people and they've got the most toxic one. They've got that blue paper mask sprayed with Teflon and toxic pesticides. Come straight from China, folks. They're not trying to help us. And then they put the cloth one over it. So the cloth one's even worse because the cotton from China and all these places loaded with glyphosate, which is taking down your glutathione in your mouth. And then they put the shield up. There you go. Let's just put the shield in front of your face. I mean, you'll just simply kill yourself. And I guess that'll help us all. We'll thin the herd of the people who, you know, just don't have a clue. If you're that afraid, if you can't comprehend that for all of man's existence on this planet, never has a mask done anything to stop an infection. Most infections, which all infections with, are self-limiting. And all you need to do is keep a healthy immune system. God put us on this planet with every other organism and an immune system to determine self from non-self. So why would you simply sit there and suffocate yourself? I mean, and it's horrible because kids on a soccer field, I mean, the data are clearly out there. Oh, my God, please don't kill your kids. I think they should start saying murder. I think they should start holding parents liable when their kids get sick. And every time they run on that soccer field with that mask, they are doing permanent lung injury.
They allow them. They did say originally, beginning of the year, that they wanted the kids wearing masks on the field. And that just passed. So they kind of put that. Okay. We're not. Yeah, because that was just stupid, you know. And so they, if you're on the field, I guess you know, you're not going to get the virus. Knows to stay away from you. But you know, it's just dumb. You know, when we went into break, I don't know if I said this on the air to the people. We had some stories and so on, and it kind of brought this. I think I saw a meme. It was about when Hank Aaron died. And it goes, remember, you know, before the vaccine, everybody, for any reason, died of COVID. Now, since the vaccine, you die of anything but COVID. You know, it's like, you got the vaccine. Well, you got no, it was comorbidities, or he was over 80, so whatever excuse later, it's definitely not from the virus if he had the vaccine or from the vaccine. And before, it was, you know, hell, it was everything was COVID. So I'm wondering, and then they changed changed the PCR rate of infection, or the how many times they replicate the test, or what. Anyway, they're wanting to bring the infection rate down. So they just kind of made up, you know, so they could get a lower number. What was that about?
The WHO, I think it was on or about Inauguration Day, either on or the day after, the WHO said, there's a problem, folks. These PCR tests that have been done over 40 cycles. Oh, that doesn't work. That gives you false positives and noise. So now no testing is going to be positive that's done over 30 cycles. So instantly the cases go away. I mean, it's how stupid are we? So now they're going to say, oh, the vaccine is making everything go away, folks. And that's what we heard as we talked earlier in the break about, you know, Hank Aaron's, you know, untimely and unfortunate death. You know, oh, that the virus is far more deadly than the vaccine. No, it's not. It's not. It never was. 99.8% of the people who get it. Hank Aaron was perfectly fine until they shot him full of the pathogenic parts of the virus. So it's I mean, I think maybe the good news is, you know, and I hope the good news is that people aren't that stupid. I really hope that people don't think double mask. You know, if it didn't work, you know, the definition of insanity is just keep doing what Tony Fauci tells you to do. It's just keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. We see the people who aren't sick, and it's us. We're the most vulnerable. It's the people in Godspeak Church in Thousand Oaks, in Awakened Church in San Diego, in Remote Church in Ramona, in Glad Tidings Church, where we held a fabulous Free and the Brave conference they did 2 weeks ago on the 15th of January. Thousands of people every weekend. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's happy. Nobody's in wet masks. And nobody's sick. This is ridiculous.
Okay, what I'm looking at right now, I just wanted to see this triple mask thing. Who's making money on that? This is good. This is good. Tenergy triple layer triple filtration mask. Disposable face mask on Amazon. All right. Then we got Etsy.
All right.
You know, Etsy's getting into it. Triple mask. You know, you can buy your triple mask here. We made a triple mask thing. Then, let's see, what's this? You know, Amazon Smile. You know, washable, reusable, triple layered, 100% cotton. You know, so this is, I was talking about in the last hour, or I don't know if you remember, if you ever watched Saturday Night Live. Back in the 80s, they were making fun of Gillette razors were coming out with, you know, one blade, two blade, three blades, and they come out and they go, five blades, we have, you know, and they were doing, you know, making fun of it. Well, now we have five blade, you know, track five or whatever the hell. So I go, okay, well, where's Saturday Night Live making fun of triple, quadruple, five masks? And then a year later, they got them on sale on Amazon. So I, you can sit here and watch this happen, and anybody with any or life experiences, you look back and you go, I've seen this before. It's like a mechanism for sales, for conning, for control, for what is the mass thing really about? It's not a health thing, really.
Yeah, no, it's about control. And here it is. I'm reading my email as you're talking, and I looked at the title of this.
Okay, wait. When we get back, we're going into break, and nobody can hear. It's a good one. So everybody's on the edge of their seat. In 4 minutes, we'll be right back. Dr. Judy, what made her laugh? Don't you want to know? I do. We'll be right back. You're on Declare Your Independence. Dr. Judy Mike.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Dr. Judy Mikovits, as we went into the break, you know, she started laughing. She's checking her email and came across time. We held it off. I don't even know what it is. It better be good because we built it up so much in anticipation of what the heck was going on, Dr. Judy.
Well, it's from a listserv about microbes and mental illness. So this is a list of probably hundreds of doctors, healthcare professionals, largely dealing with neuroborreliosis, chronic Lyme disease. But there's also things like Morgellons and, of course, chronic fatigue syndrome. So here this morning to the entire list, somebody sends a publication from a good journal, none of the journals are good anymore, but the title of the journal in the email was Adding Eye Protection to Universal Masking Reduces COVID-19 Frontline Emergency Clinicians. So they're like, okay, here's all the COVID-19 infection rate when the people are wearing the mask. So when you add eye protection in conjunction with universal masking, the transmission goes down by, remember, this fraudulent positive test. What are you measuring? Transmission of the virus. So she writes, this is a healthcare professional. So if eye protection was used by the general population, the transmission rate should be similarly reduced. Can you even imagine how you cough or sneeze out of your eye? I almost added the F word in front of my eye. How does eye protection? Your eye doesn't have anything to do with your nasal pharyngeal cavity. What you're doing is creating inflammation of the eye when you put eye protection. It has nothing to do with transmission. Are you crying and throwing it on them? What exactly? I mean, I see the cover of our book, you know, Plague, the Case Against the Mask, where Ben Garrison draws the cartoon of the Statue of Liberty with tears. Is the Statue of Liberty now transmitting COVID-19?
Okay, whoa, back
insanity.
Up.
Insanity.
Okay, two things. One, can you get COVID from viruses getting on your eye, which is what I think that they're trying to, you know, sell. Is that a vulnerable spot?
No, you could get uveitis from wearing the mask. You can get inflammation of the eye. You can get diseases of eye disease by wearing a mask and coughing and sneezing into your eye. That was a chapter of our book, The Case Against the Mask. No, you don't do that. You know, no, your eye is immunologically privileged sight, which means that introducing antigens that don't act the same way. It is not connected to your nasal pharyngeal cavity, and wearing the mask is causing eye disease, just like wearing the mask is causing eye protection used by the general population. The rate of transmission should be similarly reduced. Oh, we're all poking. COVID-19 has nothing to do with SARS-CoV-2. It's a plague of corruption. It's a plandemic. Now they've got everybody, oh, wait a minute, my eyes. And we're going to see that as we just discussed.
They wear their big water bottle.
See everybody.
Cut out the
That's
duct tape
right.
on their head.
There you go. We're going to destroy our eyes, which we
one
are
One thing
doing.
You said, Ben Garrison did the artwork for your book?
Correct. The Case Against the Mask. Cartoonist Ben Garrison, I believe he even donated that to Skyhorse, but he drew every one of the cartoons. I mean, again, when we wrote The Case Against the Mask in July of 2020, and it was published August 18th of 2020, normally our books, Plague and Plague of Corruption, are written by, you know, at the sixth grade science level. But when it was very clear that Tony Fauci didn't understand sixth grade science, then I think Skyhorse simply either commissioned or Ben Garrison volunteered to put cartoons in it. So it became very clear what these masks were doing. So, yes, he did all of the illustrations in our book. And it's really second grade level now, and everybody can understand it. But, of course, nobody can buy it because it's so heavily censored. What the evil Amazons buy them all up from the publisher and then refuse to distribute them.
Really? How many books did they buy?
There's a reason they don't want you to know this.
Well, how many books did
they
buy? Thousands.
Okay. I can't get them. Thousands?
Wow.
We don't know what the first printing lot was, but Skyhorse... we can get some from the publisher, but again, nobody's going to go to the publisher when you don't get free shipping and when it costs twice as much. And so, we're working with our agents right now to get, you know, authors have agents to protect them from such censorship. And she, of course, works overtime, as is, you know, play, you know, that they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know. They don't want you to read. Why can't a second grader read a book? Why can't a second grader read a Case Against the Mask? Why don't we have this in the schools so we reduce the fear? We're spreading the disease with every single one of these measures. You know, the adding eye protection prevents the spread. Do you know anything about a virus? And I won't say this person's name. I usually just count to 10 and delete these things, but I'm so disappointed. The professional listserv, literally everything in the fraudulent scientific literature is COVID. You can't find anything else. It's all COVID. This virus, this coronavirus, this is the strongest ever common cold virus. It's all fraud. Has nothing to do with SARS-CoV-2. Has to do with a synthetic virus that has HIV, XMRV, and a coronavirus infectious parts. And now they don't even need a virus because they're just injecting the pathogen synthetically into every cell of your body. And as they laugh all the way to the bank, as you mentioned, trillions of Moderna and criminal Fauci.
Well, this is going to have, we're looking at the repercussions of this vaccine schedule that we had in the 90s and 2000s or whatever, and you see all of these problems is what started this. You know, you're going, look, man, there's definitely a link here as a parent when you have a kid that, you know, they're perfectly fine and then they're not, and you go, whoa, 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 that shot, you know, 10 hours ago was probably what did it. No, 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 no. So this is going to happen again, but maybe they delayed it a little bit. Maybe it's a couple of weeks. Maybe it's a, you know, later in your life. Maybe you're sterile. You know, you're more susceptible to this or that. And what it comes down to is you need more pharmaceuticals and they make a bunch more money. So when there's an incentive for them to give you a shot because it makes you dependent on their pharmaceuticals, while at the same time they have no liability for using you as a guinea pig and just playing, this never turns out well. And I'm wondering, this is the kind of stuff that revolutions are fought over. This is, you know, someone that did, you're not doing your job, you're the bad guys, and I'm wondering how you think this all ends.
Well, I think this all ends as we're seeing this. We're seeing good people who haven't done their own research dying, literally thinking they're helping someone. Where it all ends is, I believe, so those 25 million Americans, and this is the slideshow, you can pull it up from BES, I believe it was September 28th, that I gave there, and you can see, and our, all the wonderful speakers who were there, Jack Linesweilers and others, you know, you can see this. You can see where it all ends. That 25 million Americans who were injured by vaccines are the first to die. With the mask, with the isolation, with everything. And it's probably closer to 50 million Americans. I try to be conservative. But, you know, you've heard Children's Health Defense, RFK Jr., Del Bigtree, half of our kids have asthma. Okay, so for the 50% of American kids with asthma, they die with the mask. They compromise their immune system. They get chronic infections. They die with any shot. We see the kids with the mask with autism, with seizure disorders, dying in their sleep. We see the elderly who wear the mask even a few hours a day during the cardiac arrest. We saw Hank Aaron sitting there with the mask on, getting a shot that caused cardiac arrest only 2 weeks later. He was perfectly healthy. And you know what some of my friends said? Oh, he was 86 years old. He lived a good life. What a great man. He just, you know, died of natural causes. And we saw that in vaccine. Every single death certificate, whether it was a 20-year-old from Gardasil in a seizure disorder which ran through the family, or the 86-year-old from the flu shot. Natural causes, natural causes. Where it all ends is they're going to kill tens of millions. They're going to get what they want if we don't wake up. And tens of millions of people around the world are going to be murdered, and everybody else that's left will be a vegetable or robot or sterile.